Hello, everyone, and welcome to Walking with the Dead, a review podcast for AMC's The Walking Dead. I'm Stephen Bueno.
Christian Cabrera.
Joshua Grijalva.
Cornel Montgomery.
And we're here for filmbook.com. That's film-book.com. So if you're new to the podcast, what we do is review every week's current episode of The Walking Dead. We give our predictions. We talk about what we just saw and what we think a lot of things mean and what we just saw. If you ever want to get in contact with us, you can go ahead and send us an email at podcast@filmbook.com. That's podcast@film-book.com. So this week we're going to be talking about Season 6, Episode 4 of The Walking Dead, Here's Not Here. All right, guys, so what'd you guys think of the episode overall? It was a very, well, it was Morgan heavy in that it was all about Morgan. Yes. And it starts
and the
off with
cheesemaker.
Oh, yeah, and the yep. cheesemaker and Tabitha, I guess. but it really is all about Morgan and what happened to him in between the time they left Morgan in the town and till he met up with them again right after Terminus. So eventually when they saw him again. I thought it was interesting of him because he was talking to one of the wolf pack. He was talking to one of them, and he was telling him the story of what turned Morgan from who he was and that insane character they ran into in the town into who he is now.
Damn. Essentially trying to convert him back, you know, from being an evil dude, but that's another part of the story. Mm-hmm. Morgan's whole story to me, it's pretty damn tragic.
Yeah.
And it makes you really, really feel for the guy because you don't really see much of him from episode one to season. What season pop up again?
Season four.
And then not again until that teaser in season five and then in this season. So you don't really see much of Morgan. But every time you saw him, Morgan was at a different point of his life. So it's crazy to see what happened in between and how short of a time it took for him to turn to where he is.
I think Morgan's always been synonymous. And I've said it before, Morgan, the character's always been synonymous with the mentality of the group.
Yeah,
like where they stand as like moral wise, or like their sort of moral compass.
He's their Gandhi.
Not as their Jiminy Cricket, but he is the physical representation of what maybe the group's mindset is.
Well, he became that after he like trained with the cheesemaker and everything. I mean, essentially that's what he became.
Cause like, well, he was definitely out there, man. Like after Rick and Michonne run into him, he's crazy, dude. He cracked completely.
Oh, and that's what one thing they showed in the episode is every time you saw him when he was crazy, they made sure to film it like he was crazy. They had that blurred out effect around him, like the border they gave him, and notice that throughout the episode, it was lessened and lessened, and then eventually like
it cleared.
It got
out
to the point where he was just kind of just staring, and at a point where he couldn't attack because he remembered what he did. And so you got to see the craziness.
It was sort of being like, it was sort of watching like a wild animal just attack because it's just enraged. And then finally when he couldn't attack, it was him coming back into humanity. Come back, like finding his own humanity again.
I find it very odd though when he finally met the cheesemaker, Eastman, that he's a psychologist and how he was able to break down emotionally how Morgan was feeling the whole entire time. And it was one of those instances where he tells him that the door is actually open on his cell because he put him in that cell. And when he told him that, he's like, wait, what? It was open the whole time? Because he was pretty much relating that to how he is mentally as well. There's always a door open. You just like keeping it closed.
I didn't even think about it in that way. That's right. Actually really like a really cool way of looking at it. But I always kind of like when I was thinking of Morgan and that door, it's like you didn't like. The way I saw it was sort of like an Interview with the Vampire where Louis just wants to find someone to kill him. He's gone through such a tragic event that he's like, I don't care to live. I'm not going to kill myself. That's not an option I give myself. But I don't want to live in this world anymore, and I'm looking for anything to kill me. Mm-hmm. That's why Morgan, I believe, just wanted to find something. When he was scavenging and he was killing all these zombies, he really just wanted one of them to kill him.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to let them.
Yeah,
but if they did, he didn't mind it.
Yeah, I think to an extent he wanted to find that like bigger opponent that would
put him down.
Yeah, finally put him out of his misery, because you really do see a character that's suffering quite a lot from the things that have happened to him and turned into something. Like I don't even think at that, like when before he got to the cheesemaker, I don't think he ever thought about what he was doing. Really, he was just very focused on clear the area.
Yep. And the only thing I wrote in my notes, and because I mean it was a pretty simple episode, but means a lot for, or at least what I took from it was everyone had a life before this, and you just kind of forget about it. Mm-hmm. And it was when Eastman was talking to Morgan, and he said, "I noticed you had your wedding ring on," and then he told his story about how he had a wife and he had, you know, a daughter. And then later on, he asked Morgan about what happened to his family. And then it also made me remember that these people that are there now, all the people that they meet and run into, and good or bad, they all had lives. Even like the governor, like when you know his story, you're like, true. Everyone had a life before this, and who they are now isn't exactly an accurate representation of who they really are.
Survival mode.
They're sort of, they're put in survival mode, and you just basically get the adrenaline fuel, like fight or flight mode. You don't get the real full grasp of the individual, and I feel like that's what Morgan was. He was just stuck on fight, and he couldn't think of anything else.
Yeah, and I loved also the fact that Eastman, he broke down his entire story of how he was interviewing a bunch of convicts, and how one of them, he pretty much said, like, one of them, I read him very well. I knew he was full of it.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, one thing about psychopaths or sociopaths is that they do seem completely normal. And that's one thing he was saying. He saw it. Like, this guy knew everything he was doing, and everything seemed like it was strategically planned, and that's how he just knew. Like, this guy is a manipulator, and he is definitely crazy.
Did any of you guys kind of get this vibe? Like, there was almost, like, this slight reference to the first season of The Walking Dead game. It to me, it almost felt like a slight reference to Lee, and then Lee was a character that had, he committed murder, and he wasn't really a bad guy. It's just certain things happen.
He got caught in the moment.
Yeah, and this, and when Eastman is talking to Morgan about it, it just reminded me of the Lee character and how much Morgan sort of resembled that to an extent.
And it's crazy to see he had an obsession with that specific convict, and eventually it led to a demise in his family where he found out where he lives and killed his wife and daughter and son.
Well, basically,
I didn't see that coming, by the way.
Oh, no. No, me neither. See that coming. I thought they got taken out by zombies or something. But the guy ended up doing that because Eastman noticed that, you know, the dude was crazy. And the guy noticed that he noticed. Mm-hmm. So he attacked him and he fought back because he knows Akita. And
Akito.
He said Akita. I think he said, like, the dog, Akita.
No, I said Akito. Don't you correct me. No, Akita. So, basically, the guy just wanted his revenge because he basically put him in jail for life, but the guy got out.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I mean, he kind of explained that, you know, the system somehow got him out or something like that, but he got out and murdered his family, and Eastman just wanted his revenge.
Yeah, his revenge plot was very psychopathic, if you think about it.
Well, yeah, he snapped too. Well, he said he went just like Morgan
exactly.
did.
Exactly.
And I think that's one of the coolest things is that I think he realized what Morgan needed to hear at the beginning, or at the point where Morgan was, he didn't have to hear the truth. Mm-hmm. He had to hear an approximation of the truth. And then at the end, finally, when Morgan's helping Eastman bury the latest, like, zombies, you see Eastman finally being like, well, no, what really happened? As when Morgan finds the graves, he's like, oh, so you really did kill him. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, well, what really happened was this. And I think it was only at that point that Morgan was willing to listen, because had he told him before, Morgan would have just been like, well, you're a hypocrite.
Because remember, when Morgan got out the cage and everything like that, he first thing he did was sprung and attacked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so he had to basically, like you were saying, open up those doors and let him through. He had to open him up in phases, though. Like, you got to tell Morgan what he needs to hear and have him help realize what he needs to hear. And, eventually, like, stop internalizing all that anger and just, like when they got into that circle and they started fighting each other, when Morgan got very emotional, you have to just let it go.
Well, another thing to, like, back up what you were saying is, like, when the cheesemaker pretty much just, like, put him down, he, like, gave up and he was like, just kill me. Mm-hmm. Just kill me. Because he was done. And it was that thing that you're saying, he wanted somebody that was bigger than him to just finally put him out of his misery, and that, like, really showed it right there.
I don't know if any of you guys felt that emotion that Eastman was feeling when after he did get bitten, by the way, when he was venting to Morgan about, I really did get the guy, I put him in that cell, it took him 47 days
to
starve, and then finally died, and he felt no satisfaction. I had that realization that he is doing this so he can pretty much clear his conscience, because he knows he's gonna die.
Yeah, it's like, it's
because she's pretty much showing him, even though I'm really good. I've done something bad, but from here on out, I always saw everything as precious.
Well, yeah, remember he said he was after his last kill, he became a vegetarian, and not just
like all life is precious.
Yeah, all life is precious, not just funny, human life. You know, he was, what did he say, that we're eating these oatmeal patties or these oatmeal burgers or something like that? Like, yeah, like he literally believes that all life is precious. And I actually really did like the cheesemaker character, because what he was to me was more not just like a father figure, but more like a prophet, kind of.
Yeah, he did fulfill this like very pure character, even though, and it's weird because you get these characters that have gone through trials and tribulations and have come out to the other side with this sort of wisdom and inner peace. And I feel like that's what Morgan brings to the table to the cast right now, is that character, because at the same time, one thing that I've said before is like I said, because Morgan seems to be there how they are morally. Now I feel like a lot of them have forgotten. Like, take someone like Carol, who's turned into the character that does things that have to be done, and then everyone sort of has that mentality. Morgan just reminds everyone, like, yeah, we do have to do some things, but we're also human, and we're also fundamentally good, and we shouldn't forget where, like, who we are and where we've been.
You can easily break it down into three categories. There's the there's the absolute good, there's the absolute neutral, and there's an absolute chaos. The absolute chaos, you can pretty much pick. You can picture that as like I'm gonna say the wolves first, but the absolute neutral would actually be Morgan, because he was in the middle. He was in the very barrier of that. But I also put Rick on the absolute chaos too, because he's struggled with that as well. And we noticed in this season too, he actually started struggling with it again, like slowly but steadily. But going back to Eastman and
he's been doing it since season five, really, because like when he goes after after Jesse's dad, and he wasn't just going at them because of what he was doing necessarily. Like, he was also going with them.
Wait, Jesse's the mother, remember?
Yeah.
Jesse's the mom.
My bad.
Wrong gender.
wrong character.
The doctor.
The doctor from season five. When he goes after him, he wasn't just going after him because what he was doing was wrong. He goes after him because I think deep down, Rick has lost a bit of that humanity, or has forgotten a bit of that humanity. And he's like, no, this person has done wrong. There's only one way this can be rectified. And bringing Morgan in sort of reminds them, look, there isn't just one way of doing things. You don't have to kill them. People can rehabilitate.
No. I think, I mean, okay, Morgan comes in and he has that thought process, but Carol also has a complete opposite, right? So whenever a situation arises, like in the last episode, when Morgan was there and he's like, we have to do this, and everything Morgan did had a negative consequence, but everything Carol did solved the problem.
Yes.
So, I mean, even it proved in the end of this episode that regardless of what you say to a person, in that world, if you're crazy, you're crazy.
Yeah.
And if you're in survival mode and you need to live, you're going to do whatever you can. Because when he let those guys go, what is the first thing they did? He took the gun and it screwed over Rick last episode.
Yes.
And then right now when, you know, he's talking to the wolf and he's telling him, okay, you have this chance of redemption. I'm letting you live because of this. And I told you my life story. Not my life story, but the situation that caused me to look the other way. The guy's like, well, yeah, that's nice and all, but I've got this wound and I wanted to get, you know, some medicine here, and I was going to get it by, you know, at any cost. And when I get better, if I get better, I'm going to kill you and everybody else around, even the children. Mm-hmm. So regardless, in that world, people are bad or good. I don't see the. I mean, there is a neutral, like you said, but it's way more extreme left and right than the neutral.
And I'm glad you said that, because one thing you were talking, like how you mentioned that the wolf said that he was just going to kill everyone, and it goes right back to the story of the cheesemaker when he talks about the story of, I only met one person that was completely evil. Well, I think now this world has generated a lot more people that are completely evil. And I feel like there's going to be more instances where they're going to run into people that weren't initially all evil, but there's more instances now of people that have been warped and people that really have like no choice. It's like, well, I'm at the end of my ropes and I'm just going to lose my mind. And so it's not necessarily that people can't be saved. It's just there's so many more people now that can't.
It was like my brother had, we were talking once, and it wasn't even about The Walking Dead or anything, but about like civilization, how mankind basically has their head up their ass about the kind of thing. Excuse my language. Yeah. But it's kind of like that right now in The Walking Dead, where only reason why people act nice to each other is to be civilized. But when you're not civilized, you don't care. And these people, they could have been borderline crazy. And when civilization, you know, went out and they had to fend for themselves, it just, that little kick they needed to go full on crazy. And they just don't care anymore. They're not civilized anymore. They're feral. They're feral humans, like feral adults. And they just so happen to be wolves in a pack, and they're attacking. They're just striking. So
I think, well, one of the cool things is when Eastman tells Morgan how was like, people aren't meant to kill other people. People aren't meant to kill other things. It's like, why do you think people come back with PTSD? It's like that, I believe, to me, it's like, I believe in that world, that was the case. And it's like, yeah, fundamentally, everyone here, everyone in that world shouldn't be going out and killing other people. But unfortunately, you're put in situations where that is, like, that's the reality you have to live with. And I think a lot of people now, or a lot of people in the world, are almost living with their own version of PTSD. It's like, it's fight or flight. And quite honestly, we all fight. And there is no flight. There is no running away. There's almost like facing the problem full on.
I like how Eastman gave Morgan that choice, that he can stay here alone, even though he's been alone for a long time. There's plenty of food for him to survive off of. But he told him, but the best choice is to leave. And immediately he tells him, I've already made my decision. And he knew he was going to leave. And that's when after he told him, you need people. If you don't have people around you, you're pretty much going to be the same as you were.
Your existence might sour also.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's also funny that they call him the cheesemaker, or he calls him the cheesemaker.
Yeah.
And it wasn't initially what he wanted to do. He just happened to have a goat. And just having to try to make cheese out of it. He didn't make any good cheese. He never, I thought he was going to make.
No, he did. Right at the end, he made one cheese.
He finally,
I totally missed that
part. Yeah.
Yeah. He was like, it was kind of blurred out in the background, but he's literally just like tasting it. He's like, yeah. And, you know, he's just like munching on it.
All right, then never mind. I take that back. Yep. Because I remember saying that he's probably going to get bitten right after he.
Yeah, he got bitten shortly after.
It's terrible, right. Yeah.
Man. You know what's interesting also, and one thing that we did mention while we were watching the episode, was that one thing that Eastman does is that every time he kills one of the zombies or even finds one, he takes them back and he buries them. Mm-hmm. And not only does he bury them, but I thought this was a really good callback to season one, where they got the guy's wallet and they got his name. Because in season one, I remember Rick, whenever, I believe they were going to chop the bodies up to use them as camouflage to walk through the corpses or to walk through the bodies. During that, they're like, well, before we do this, we're going to take their wallets and we're all going to remind each other. These were people at one point. Mm-hmm. This is this guy's name. This is who he was. This is not who he is now, but we can't forget that each and every single one of these animated bodies was someone at one point. And I like the callback to not only that scene, but the callback to that idea. Mm-hmm. And that's why I like The Walking Dead so much, because it does present to you very like morally complex issues that, well, are you going to do this to survive, to protect your own? How is it? I mean, like the difference between being offensive and defensive, what's right and wrong. I love that The Walking Dead brings that up a lot.
And they show you that in all forms. They show you from people that take it the wrong way and they're like, we have to do this way, like your Carols, that, you know, it has to be done, your Morgans, that we shouldn't do this,
your governors, even
governors where, like, I have the society and it's going to work, but then I'm really, really screwed up, which is like, he definitely is a sociopath, because just think about what he was saying, like, he was a manipulator, he did what he did, and he knew what was good and what was bad, but yeah, The Walking Dead really gives you those thoughts of what society can be if the situation does arise, because it shows you, like I said, every facet of what could happen.
What's great about it, and I think sometimes what we complain about is sometimes that the characters are bogged down in a certain place, but when they're stuck in a certain place and when they're very stationary, that's when it lends itself to these episodes would give you that subject matter, that ability to talk about the morality in their actions. Because sometimes it's not always just like hordes of zombies, and it's not always clear what the right choice is.
Like the spinoff,
yeah. You know, it does give you very morally ambiguous situations, and it does let you think about, like, it's sort of think about the nature, mm-hmm. like human nature, and then kind of human nature as it evolves in that yeah. setting.
Yeah. I see it more as a resurrection, because you once he puts on those clothes, the new set of clothes, puts that backpack on, he leaves and he sees the terminus sign. I see it as a resurrection of him pretty much going out saying, I am now capable of being absolute good. And I want everyone to be absolute good.
I am a disciple of the prophet cheesemaker.
Yeah.
Follow my lead and carry on with my stick.
It's funny, too. Like there's one thing we
speak softly and carry a big stick.
There's one Morgan thing we didn't 10, mention, and it should have been mentioned because it's the most pivotal point in the actual episode, was the book of the art of peace. Once he opens it,
oh, yeah.
Aikido, pretty much said right there, Aikido. Aikido is the art of defense. Aikido is the art of peace. It is not meant for kill. It's meant for defense.
And you notice Morgan, he never once strikes at someone. He waits until they come at him, and then he strikes. But it's always not a lethal strike, or not even like a harmful strike. Yeah. It's like, look, you're coming at me. I'm going to smack your arm. It's never like I'm going to hit you in the face. It's really until the end where he hits him in the head.
Yeah,
and I think with every attack, it's sort of like every attack is an opportunity for that person to change their way of thinking. Mm. It's like I'm not attacking you to stop you. I'm attacking you so you can stop and think like I have a choice. Like every attack is a choice.
Unfortunately, we only get to see him use that on the people that don't care.
Yeah, right.
Eventually he's gonna come around to knowing
if he lives.
I have to take people down. I have to take them out. That's why I feel when he walked out of the actual house and he locks the door, that I think that might be a certain downfall in Alexandria. Seeing it as a downfall. I'm predicting that. Because,
look, I think the locking of the door showed more of a symbol of him losing that faith in people.
A little bit, yeah.
I thought he was just going to kind of look at the key and be like, no, I'll leave it open. But he legitimately locked the door. And I think they purposely put that in there so that you can see that maybe Morgan's changing his idea on what the cheesemaker showed him.
Yeah.
Because not all people can be saved.
Maybe he's going to do it for the greater good.
Do we have any predictions? Maybe what's going to be on the next episode or within the
season? Well, it ends with them yelling, open up the gate. So.
But we don't know who's...
It was Rick.
They got to keep going back to the Horde. Like, the Horde is a huge issue. Like, I want to watch this so bad. Like I want to know what's happening with Rick in that trailer. Like, how is he going to get out of it? Because at the end of the day, you can climb to the top of the trailer and you're like, well, I'm stuck for the rest of my life.
You want to see if possibly if Glenn is still alive.
Because
I saw some
spoilers
leaked some stuff and
stuff that you can easily Google.
We can easily say probably there's a possibility he may.
Well, there's a character coming in later on that's there, and you know, we'll
see. Spoilers.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say my prediction for. It doesn't matter if it's the next episode or throughout the season or this half season. Once they do the next season, eventually everyone's going to gather up and they have to leave. Something is going to happen.
Oh yeah, something big. Always
something
happens.
Big.
Because you said that, I'm going to predict that when the time comes to move, they're going to leave that guy in that room.
Also, somebody might have one less eyeball. I'm just saying.
Oh my god.
But yeah, I predict that Morgan's just going to be like, okay, well, they're just going to leave the body there. Or not the body, but the person, he's just going to leave him behind. Leave the door locked and just walk away. Mm-hmm. All right. So let us know what you guys think in the comments. What do you guys think was that sound? Who do you think was at the gate? And, if you ever want to send us an email, go ahead and do so. I want to know. Just go ahead and send us an email at podcast@filmbook.com. That's podcast@film-book.com with the subject line saying Walking with the Dead. That way we know it's for us. And just let us know what you guys think. Rate and review. Let us know what you like, what you didn't. And we'll keep doing this and talking about this great, great season. Yes. Even though this wasn't a slower episode, I still think overall this season has been amazing. So I hope you guys are enjoying it just as much as we are. Have a good one, guys.
Bye.
Night.
Happy Halloween.